Good evening, everybody. It is a pleasure and a privilege for me to be able to stand before you and to discuss the Word of God. And today what we're going to do, since this is kind of to bring you up to date, is what we're going to believe. We're going to talk more than preach, although I can do that. Sometimes when I'm talking, I do that. But we're told in Mark 15 and 16, we are to go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is the great commission that we're all familiar with. It is the driving force in a Christian's life. One of the very things we studied in the Bible class this morning. Are you a body with a spirit or a spirit with a body? And what is the work that we are to do? Pretty good, I bet you. Everybody references your study. You did real good. Appreciate your work. What is it we are to be doing? As Christians, we are to be winning souls. Jesus said, I send them in like manner, Father, as thou hast sent me. That's what he prayed in John 17. What was Jesus' purpose? He said, I come to seek and to save the lost. That was the purpose under which Jesus Christ came into the world, and the purpose he has ascribed to us as his children. There are so many souls in the world, in fact, vast millions of souls, that are walking in darkness. And as I tell the folks in the belief, there are two types of people in the world. Those that are alive and those that are dead just don't know it. And we need to be concerned about those who are dead in sin and think they're just perfectly all right. They don't see themselves as being in need of anything in many cases. Although I have been so encouraged in Belize because the folks in Belize are truly hungry and thirsting after righteousness. You can ask 10 people, cold contacts, just walking, would you like to have a Bible study? And 9 out of 10, and maybe even 10 out of 10, are going to tell you yes. They'd love to have a Bible study. We have gone out and we find people in various ways, but one of the ways we find it, we go to the hospitals and visit folks in the hospital. And it turns out Dan Griga has the hospital that covers almost all of Central and South Belize. Everybody goes, gets signal to the doctor, comes to Dan Griga. So we see people on a fairly regular basis there, and they are always so appreciative. Yes, we'll have a Bible study. Where do you live? Well, I live over here. And when you go to find them, they don't have address like you and I. They don't say, well, I live at 655 Country. No. They live back behind the ballpark, to the left, through the trees. And so you start going finding every place we stop, which is how you do this, and ask, do you know where Frank lives? Oh, yeah, yeah, Frank. That's the guy. And they'll tell you another stretch of the road. And we always tell them, we're going to see Frank because we're going to have a Bible study. And we'd have a Bible study with you if you'd like. Oh, yeah. So we schedule Bible studies. And before you get to Frank's house, you'll have 3 to 4 Bible studies set up with other people. Their interest is tremendous in the Word of God. There's a lot of folks down in Belize doing mission work. The Mennonites, you've got Jehovah's Witnesses, you've got the Seventh-day Adventists. You got just oohs of folks coming down and teaching. But you'd be surprised how many times we've been told that people who have been exposed to these religions and this doctrine that they're teaching, they didn't think that was what God said. And so they're not totally oblivious to the fact that they need to know what it is God said. And so we talk to them about what the Scripture said. The biggest problem I have is I try to make sure that nobody is listening based on the fact that I'm an American, I'm a missionary, and therefore I'm supposed to know what God says. I stress over and over and over to them that what God says is written in the Scripture. No man should be the one you put your faith in, but God himself and what God has revealed in the Scripture. And so we're going to talk a little bit about beliefs. I want to also say how much I appreciate your support of the work. Paul said that, you know, he planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. He said, we are fellow laborers together with God. Never forget, it's not you doing anything, it's God that's doing things through you and being used as an instrument of righteousness through the blessing which I have been through, but which we all, in our own way, benefit from, are being here, even worshiping together, is serving God and being used by God for His glory. Belize is a beautiful country. It is a place people like to go to. I have not been, and I've been going down since 2013. I have not been, other than one time, the guy that was traveling to from Dan Greer up to the Mid-Austria, stopped at a little place on the side where the Blue Hole is. If you ever seen anything about police, they're real famous for the Blue Hole, they call it. It's a place in the middle of the ocean that the bottom just rocks out. I mean, and when you look at the sky, the ocean is beautiful, but when you get to this Blue Hole, it is definitely blue, and it is almost a bottomless pit. And it goes underneath the Belize, and it comes up in several locations within the country. And on the way to San Ignacio, there's a spot where this ocean water bubbles up, and it's like 150 miles from the coast. You can go there, and I thought, but the rest of the time, I don't go to tourist places. I don't have time. And I'm not down, I won't be present. I don't go on vacation to Belize. I go on mission work. This is Belize. I do this for them. You know, it's called Polynesian Belize. Belize is, on the north of Belize is Mexico. It's probably too small to see, but the last city up there on the top is Curacao. That's the northern part of Belize. Right across the border, you get to Chechenval, which is Mexico. If you go to the west, on this side is Guatemala. And then down, you see the Gulf of Honduras. If you go down across that gulf, Honduras sits down across the gulf. And so it's not a great big country. I'm guessing it's around 400, 500 miles from north to south. It's obviously elongated north-south. It's fairly narrow across. You can drive from the east to the west side in an hour and a half or so. And so it's, Dan Greer is located almost right in the middle. It's on that orange section of Stan Creek District. That's where I've been spending the last trip I've been. It's been Dan Greer in Stan Creek. I've also spent time in Toledo, and I've spent time in Teo. The only place I haven't spent any time is up in the Orange Walk area. We're about preaching the kingdom of God. That's what the mission's all about. We spend every day of the week teaching and preaching the gospel to people who will listen. Normally we have 1 to 2 classes every day. Sometimes we miss 5 every day. I want to introduce you to the gentleman I'm working with down there. His name is Ryan Gardner. He's 32-ish, and maybe 32 to 35 years of age. He's got a wife and 3 children. I've never seen a man work harder for the cause of Christ than he does. From 7 o'clock in the morning, we're running. At 6, 7 o'clock in the evening, we're finishing. Sometimes at 8 o'clock, you know, people. And then he comes home and spends another 2 to 3 to 4 hours at his computer in his bedroom working on his sermons and things he needs to do for the cause that he's undertaking. Now, we'll hear just a little bit about Belize in general. This is the village of San Pedro, Colombia. Everybody calls it Colombia, but it's San Pedro, Colombia. This is the little church building here that is in Colombia. They have about 18 to 20 members there. The minister there, his name is Ness. I'll show you a picture of him in a little bit. This is the little building they have in San Antonio. Both San Antonio and Colombia are down in the Toledo district of Belize. That Ignacio and his wife inside. They're the preachers there in Columbia. He lives in that wood frame house. And it's basically a room about maybe 18 by 25 foot long. And it's got sheets that divide the rooms up. So you got the kitchen, the dining room there, and then you got sheets to break the bed. The bathroom is outside. This is inside that little building. It's got a cement floor. I'm standing pretty much at the door going into it, and they have the little floor pit up front. The guy on the left is Casio, the one on the right is Menace. He's the minister there in Columbia. Both of them are Mayan by descent, and when you get to Toledo, this is Mayan people are different from the normal policeman people in that they have being native of the Americas prior to the coming of Columbus. Now, those folks, they have different rules and regulations that govern the use of land and properties and so forth when you get back to Toledo district. This is my first trip. He's the first man I baptized when I was down here. His name is Marvin. Found him in, although he had probably been using drugs. He was in a rehab center when I met him. He did well. I mean, he really put forth a lot of effort. Now, he stole my watch. He did. My wife came and she said, "Why do you wear my watch? You got a watch." But she couldn't buy it. "Well, you gave your watch away." "Well, I didn't actually give it away, but I don't have it anymore." This is the other gentleman I work with real close. He wanted to be, I was teaching people, the men that gathered were at a school that I was holding for our ministry. And they actually stayed on the property and everything else. And so I provided all the meals and everything for them at the time. And I asked Ryan to put together some pictures, because I want you to kind of get a sense of him, because he's the man that's going to be there. Well, I'm going to go down again, Lord willing, after the first year. But my life expectancy is short, my health is not good, and at some point, I'm not going to be able to go. One of the things I've been worried about is if you go and do all this work, how do you continue your work that you've done? How do you have any longevity? Well, one of the ways is you have men that are trained and taught, and Ryan is an excellent young man. And so I had him put together some stuff. I took some of the artwork off. He really giggled on this computer. He has things flipping and flopping. I'm kind of dodged a lot about it. This is a church in Siltgrass and Dangree. And almost all those people you see there have been baptized this year. And their children. There's actually six people that are from Dangree, and the rest of them are from Dangree. And they basically worship God according to the scripture, which is important. You know, we're going to provide any support for anybody and help a person in ministry. We need to make sure that they are teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ correctly. And so they do. They have their singing, they're praying, and they teach Lord's Supper every Sunday. Two services, one church crowd crowds. Sometimes Sunday night don't have a lot. They do. They have one tonight Bible study. Very much like they do right here in the States. That's right in the middle. Do a lot of one-on-one teaching. That is the way I think God intended for saints to be made, is from a man or a woman even to sit down with another person and teach them the scripture. And as a result of that, we have a tremendous number of trips to the river or wherever. He's also responsible. He's been a minister there in San Diego for about 5 or 6 years, I think. He does weddings. And of course, he does funerals. We had two on this past trip I've done. yellow, that's Ryan's wife. Laurel, his name. And of course, they take door supply up in San Diego. That's the reason why the missionary people show up. The whole village turns out. Because they want what typically is brought with those folks in the areas of benevolence. Nothing wrong with giving people school supplies and shoes and so forth. But a lot of cases, that's about all they really got to do, give them school supplies and shoes and so forth. They had a ladies' conference that was also sponsored by the ladies out of Conroe. And they just ran a picture there of activities and things that they're doing. Congregation's real close knit. They meet, instead of meeting on just Sunday, for example, they're together almost every day at some point or another, doing things with one another. That's a little building with silk grass. There's a little thing on the end of your building, on the top, shows it completed. They put that up so they have a class, a children's class outside, but they have a room inside the building. The building itself is only 16 foot by 30 foot long. And it's just really not any larger than what they actually have to have right now. There's the inside of the building itself. They have folding their chairs and benches and stuff. They have those chairs. And they do. That's what we do, our teaching and preaching from every Sunday. That's standing at the front, looking back, and as you can see, the building's full. I mean, we could probably squeeze another 10, 12 people in there possibly, but that little building is pretty much filled to capacity already. It has a metal roof, no insulation, in direct sunlight. Let me tell you, folks, Sunday morning service, you better be prepared to sweat a little bit, because we got three little windows on each side of it. It gets like 110 degrees, and it is really hot. About 6 or 8 months ago, a congregation came in, and put a roof and ceiling in it, but there's no insulation. It really didn't help a whole lot. It still really, really gets hot. And these are pictures. This is Lewis. He's going out to be baptized in the ocean. That is a challenge, to say the very least. And I was worried. So as you can see, Lewis is not moving away. He said he didn't know if he could get him in the water and get him back up again. So, if you can't get him back up, I'm sure when he runs out of air, he'll come up. But anyway, they waded out. And the problem is you got to wade out. As you can see, it's not very, you have to go. You've been getting pictures up back to baptizing again, because by the time they got out deep enough, they were further out than the doors even coming in the building back then. You've waited out a long way before you get the water at the boys' feet. But we do baptize, and this is Lewis, a family very close to the example we have of the jail. Because after we baptized Lewis, then we baptized his, let's see, in order. We baptized his sister, which is Lydia White. Then we baptized his son, which is down here in the corner. Then we baptized the son in the back. Then we baptized his wife. Then we baptized his other son, and then his daughter. And so we've got almost the entire family that's a countable age has been baptized. And we did all that in the space of about 7 or 8 days. And so it really was a rewarding thing. There's where his son's supposed to be baptized. That's Ryan on the right with the tie. But Ryan, very professional. It can be 115 degrees. He wears a long sleeve shirt and a tie. He can wear a coat. But he dresses appropriately for being a minister of God's people. So, and he thinks that's important. Not often. He says, no, Ryan, you really have to. No, man. Sunday morning, you need to have a tie. But he wears his tie. That van in the back is the van that was given to him. It's a cargo van. It has two seats. The driver's seat and the passenger seat have no other seats in it. They've taken seats out of wrecked vehicles and stuck in the back, but they're not bolted down. So you get squared away because the road is off the bridge wall. But you can haul, we have hauled as many as 12 people. And so you can stack them in to get them to, and we have to get them to worship because most of the people come out of Dan Greener and know where to get them there. I do the taking of the confessions, Brian does the baptizing with him. And besides that, I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to supplant or any way infringe on Brian as the minister of that congregation. He's the one that goes out in the water, and they'll all get, after he comes out of the water, they'll go gather around and have a prayer and song. Normally, we baptize a number of times. read scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Beginning in verse 1, reading through verse 4, the scripture says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Now, many times on Sunday morning we read 1 Corinthians chapter 16 when we're talking about the collection. Paul said, "I gave order to the churches of Galatia that you are to lay by a store on the first day of the week as you prosper, that there be no gathering." Why? Well, there were needy saints in Judea that needed support for the physical things of their life. God, Paul didn't say, "I'm making a suggestion to you, gentlemen, to you members. I'm giving you an order from God. You are to help the needy saints that you did." Well, if we're supposed to help needy saints with their physical needs, certainly we should be helping needy saints with their spiritual needs. Jesus said in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 35, Jesus said, "Say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit to eternal life, that both he and the sower and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you have sowed no labor. Other men labor, and you have entered into their labors." Jesus said, "Look, the fields are white unto harvest." And that is never more true than it is in beliefs. There are opportunities of that. But it takes men of vision to see. And these things are seen with the spiritual eye, not with the carnal eye. And then finally, and the last thing we're going to discuss briefly is in Philippians chapter 4. He says, "For those," beginning in verse 9, "for those which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but lacked opportunity." What he's saying is they had assisted and supported Paul in times past, and they desired to begin, but they didn't have opportunity. You know, in Ephesians it says that we are to not grow weary in well-doing, but as we have opportunity, we are to do that which God requires. But he says, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your fear of me has flourished again." And then he goes on to say that in verse 14, "Notwithstanding you have done well, but you did communicate with me in my affliction. Now ye of Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I entered into Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. But even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account." That's the point. When you're supporting me, or Brian, or any missionary, when you support Brian, what we're doing is we're becoming co-workers together, and we're bearing fruit. God requires his children to bear fruit, or else they are unprofitable. And so it is my desire that we will continue, as the Lord will allow, to continue to work in beliefs. And I appreciate all that you've done. I hope together we'll be able to encourage others to join in the effort, and we'll see what God has for us in the future. Anyone?